Thank you. You may be seated. I forgot to mention a concern that I had this morning. The Gamecocks lost yesterday, and it's evident the SEC officials are Florida fans. But that aside, today I'm 10 weeks away from being in the pulpit for 10 years in New York, and I have to say that First in the ministry have really slowed down the last couple of years. I remember presiding over the baptism of the first baby of my ministry as well as the first adult up in Roscoe. I remember the first communion class and the first time I said the words of institution during Holy Communion. I remember the first mission we started, which is still going strong today. I remember telling the congregation that first time we were being reappointed elsewhere in the conference. I remember being in my first church that had no musician. I remember the two little churches that were 4 miles apart, but may as well have been 400 miles apart, getting together finally and worshiping as one. It's been quite a while since there's been another first in my ministry, but today has definitely been that day. And again, formally, welcome to the Jackson family, and thank you for your family and friends who have been here, for the godparents who will help to raise Molly and Abigail in a nurturing and a loving home and community. And now for a rough transition. This morning's reading from Mark also highlights what type of relationship and positions of authority we should indeed try to seek. Two of the 12 are there, they're talking with Jesus, they're vying for his attention and essentially seeking to become the next leaders of the movement in whatever way, shape, or form that may take, but Jesus has called them out on their behavior as well as the other 10. They were focused on the ways of the world at the time, or better to say, they were focused on the ways of the world, period. They sought that higher spot that they could lord over others, just as the Romans had done with so many nations they'd conquered in the Mediterranean. They sought what was indeed antithetical to the desire of God and to what Jesus had been teaching all along. And just a few verses before this, the disciples tried to keep some of the kids away from Jesus because, let's face it, kids are kids. And if you're planning on having kids one day, but don't right now, earmuffs, okay? Kids don't listen. Kids ask the most inane questions I've ever heard. A kid will bring up that one time 6 months ago they found this one particular Lego and ask if you remember what else happened that day. True story. If I'm lying, I'm dying here. Kids, by and large, at least as I've noticed, are often a category of people we overlook or just look past because they'll outgrow childhood one day. It's like a temporary illness. And we say everything will be okay when you turn 18, and then we'll consider you one of us, but we're still probably going to criticize everything you do. Just a heads up, until you have little creatures of your own one day and you really become one of us. You know those kinds of people. But then there's also those who judge others who have kids. We're the ones. Wait a second. They are the ones. They are the ones who look at other parents who have kids and judge them silently, only letting the looks on their face let you know that they think something else of you. And I know that feeling, the one of being instantly judged. I mean, Veronica only fell into a cactus that was the size of a beach ball covered in barbed needles. Don't look at me like I pushed her into the thing. I can't help it. I can't help it. She has her and my she has my and her mom's sense of balance. If anything, I kept her face from going into it as I grabbed her by the back of the neck. If anything, I kept her face from going into it. But now I'm the bad parent because she's crying and ruining your trip to the National Botanic Garden. And then that yoga class, oh boy, did they judge us as she was screaming as each barb was plucked out of her hand. Oh, these are the kids the disciples are trying to keep away from Jesus because they know they will end up being a distraction and one of them might fall into a cactus and then whose fault's it going to be? But it is honestly like Jesus knew the conversation he was going to be having with the disciples a few verses later when calling out the childlike behavior of those seeking power and authority to hold it over one another, as the Gentile Romans do, and instead instructing the others to allow the children to be around them. This again alludes to what the kingdom of God looks like. one where a group of people isn't excluded, and in this instance, it talks about children. I went to a church service once for Mother's Day several years back. It wasn't a Methodist church, so I get to talk about them all I want. It was a warehouse church, and other than the fact that the preacher spoke for more than 20 minutes and didn't mention Jesus once, I remember one other thing from that service, and that was the ushers walking around and asking parents to take their kids out of worship and put them in the nursery. Well, I would have gotten up from those seats, and I would have walked out the sanctuary, and I'd have kept on going right out the front door and never been back. Now, as much as I sound like a broken record here, again, Jesus is showing the inclusiveness of the kingdom of God. Those persons on the edge of humanity, the women and children, and for the gospel writer Mark, any outsider marginalized by ritual, tradition, ethnicity, race, religion, gender, they're going to find their place in the kingdom of God. And here and now, today, and in our society, we still judge and we still cast out those who aren't quite like us, or at least at the bare minimum, give thanks that our lives are not quite like theirs. Those stigmas in our society that Jesus would call out against, like those feelings we harbor against the foreigner, the divorcee, the disabled, the handicapped, the widow, the illegitimate child. These persons that are on the edge of humanity, they're going to find their place in the kingdom of God, and Jesus makes sure we understand that time and time again. In this place, this house of worship, we should desire to seek and to be that place that is known and will be known as the church that continues to embrace all, because I don't know about you, but when Jesus walks in the door of this sanctuary, the good Lord better be welcomed and embraced however the Lord looks. Whether a tired and desperate mom or a dad just showing up because, or a child whose attention span has long since passed because we're over an hour into worship and the only thing keeping them silent is a bag of Cheerios or a box of goldfish. Or the lonely widow. Or the person looking for just one piece of hope to keep going. Or the child who's heard nothing but insults from their family and loved ones their entire life. Those persons on the edge of humanity, any outsider marginalized by ritual, tradition, socioeconomical class, ethnicity, race, religion, sexuality, age, and gender, oh, they're going to find their place in the kingdom of God, and may it be right here in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. Beloveds, when we enter into this place of worship with one another, we each walk through these doors bringing Christ with us. The Spirit of God with us. When we gather as one, we take part in the building up of the kingdom of God so that when we go out into the world, others will see and then they will know who and whose we are by our words, our actions, and our empathy. Because wherever we go, Christ goes with us. Amen? Amen. Thanks be to God.